All right, it's not broken this time. Cross your fingers. Thank you for allowing me to stand up before you and preach this word again tonight. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer once again. As we do, Brother BJ, please lead us in a word of prayer. So, earlier this week, I studied and wrote about half this message. Looked at it again, wrote a different half of the message, and have a little bit of a bridge between them, so we'll see how this goes. Hopefully it makes sense. If it doesn't, come ask me questions afterwards, and I can explain what I was trying to get to. But we're going to start in 2 Kings chapter 13, and we're going to read verse 1. In the 20th year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, the king of Judah, Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel and Samaria and reigned 17 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. And Jehoaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel, because the king of Syria oppressed them. And the Lord gave Israel a savior, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as before time. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin, but walked therein, and they remained in the grove, also in Samaria. Neither did he leave off the people to Jehoaz, but 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust by the threshing. Turn to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. And start in verse 17. And yet they would not hearken, verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them, and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked, in obeying the commandment of the Lord, but they did not so. When the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following other gods, to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, for they were stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice. Now, turn to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Start in verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Thou meetest them, him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities have, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thee, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. So tonight, for a little bit, we're going to look at kind of mankind, and something that you read when you read Kings and Judges and Isaiah and throughout the whole Bible, you kind of see this same cycle, the cycle of man where, you know, man does okay, they start falling away, they cry out to God, God saves them, and then as soon as things get okay and they don't need God anymore, they walk away. You see it all through the book of Judges, and you sit there and wonder, how does that keep happening? Why did they not just listen and understand? God will take care of you through the whole thing. You don't have to leave God. Things don't get better when you leave God. And I read there and I think, well, why do I do the same exact thing today? Why do mankind continue to have that same cycle? And ultimately, the only thing I can think of is we are a sinful people that are really prideful and full of a lot of mistakes and problems. And I sit there and I just have to wonder, why does this keep happening? And then I have to realize that I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. So when I don't fall into that cycle, when I actually go a good distance of time, when I follow God, it's not because I'm anything special, because when I start following that line of thinking, it takes me away from God. When I realize and sit there and just see, anything that's good that I have in my life, anytime I've ever been okay, anytime I've actually been okay, it's because I have God in my life. And so tonight, for a little bit, we're going to look at and understand you are a sinner. If you are saved, you have two natures. You are a sinner and you have a spiritual nature. You have to understand those do not automatically just go together and work perfectly. It takes some effort. It takes some work. And the question for you is, are you going to keep falling into the same cycle, or are you going to actually break the cycle? You're going to do something a little bit different. We could literally go read Judges, and chapter after chapter after chapter, it's the same story. Every single time, it's crazy how it happens that they do great, God delivers them, and then something happens in their life, they go right back to the same. And you would think, you know, after the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, you'd think they would get it and understand it. Finally, well, how many times have I gone thing in my life, that fourth time, that fifth time, that sixth time, it just keeps happening over and over and over again. Why? It's because I stop looking into the Word of God and I stop remembering who I actually am. Turn to Mark chapter 7. So at first we're going to look at, you are a sinful being. You have sin in your life. You can't fight it. You on your own cannot fight it. You can't just will it away. You can't just assume, oh, I'm not that person. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 20, and verse 18. And he saith unto them, are ye without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into thy belly, and goeth out in a draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You have to understand the epitome and the level of sin that you have is in you automatically. It doesn't get worse the more you put it. Now, the more you get around the world and the more you go after the world, it comes out more often, but you have to understand, you know, again, I talked about it Sunday, the total depravity of man. Everything evil in this world comes from inside of us. You have that naturally in you. So don't be shocked when you sit there and think, well, how do I do that? Well, it's because you have that inside of you. The fact of the matter is, it's not just I have to ignore that part of me and just will it away. No, you have to understand it's there and push it down. Let God be, have God fill it up, because you know, I can't remember the verse, but it says, they that are whole need not a physician. If you don't admit that you have a problem, if you don't understand that you're sick, what are you going to do to fix it? Nothing, because you're okay. You know, if you're lost right now and you don't understand that you are a sinner full of evilness, dying and going to hell, nothing is going to provoke you to fix it until you understand you are not okay. Saved child of God, if you're steeped in sin and just away from God and everything he wants for you in your life, understand you are not okay. You might think you are. You are not okay. And it's not until you understand who you really are. Turn to James chapter 1. We read those verses first because we have to understand it. The sin in my life, it's not because of any other reason but because of me. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. You realize that when you get that temptation, you follow that lust, it's not because, oh, this person did this or the devil did that. No, it's you let yourself get drawn away because you have those things inside of you. And maybe you put yourself in a position where it's a whole lot easier. But at the end of the day, you decide what you're going to do. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I love this verse. I also don't like it very much, but I love this verse because you know what it says to me, what the verse says, should say that same thing to everybody, but what the verse says is, every time I am tempted, I don't have to give in to that temptation. Right. But it also puts the onus on me. If I give in to that temptation, yeah, it's my fault. Amen. If I put myself in the position to be tempted, it's my fault if I follow it. Yeah. You know what that means? What is it? I love verse. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. You realize every time you are face to face with temptation, every time you are face to face with sin, you have a way out. Mm-hmm. Will you take that way out? You have to understand, it's no one else's fault that you sin today. It's no one else's fault that you're going to sin tomorrow. When you stand before God, you don't get to say, well, it's their fault. They did it, not me. No, You have to answer for your own sin. Turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. You, your sin. You have to understand it is you, not anyone else. Because, again, if you blame everybody else, you don't have a problem. You're okay. Bible says you're not okay. You might think you are. You're fooling yourself. You are a liar. You are not okay. God can make you okay, though. That's the thing we have to understand. I can't do it on my own. Mankind has never been able to fix their own problems. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they fixed their own problems by sowing those fig leaves, right? Wasn't good enough. They were still sinful in the eyes of God. David, he fixed his own problems with Uriah. He covered it up. No one knew. God knew, and it wasn't good enough a fix. Everybody can say, well, I fixed my own sin. No, the only time that sin has ever been fixed is when Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for it. After that, anything else besides Jesus Christ doesn't fix a single thing of your sin. So you have to understand, you can't fix it. God can fix it for you. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Now, something you also have to remember with that. You can't fix it, but you also can't just magically think God's going to zap it away from you. You have to put in some effort. God's, I like the picture. God left the breadcrumbs. You still have to follow and pick up the breadcrumbs. He's just not going to magically, hey, you're fixed. No, you have to put some work in. You have to take, again, the onus on your, is onus an actual word? I think I might have made it up. But the onus on yourself to put some effort in, to make sure you are doing the best that you can following what God has laid out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye were lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and ye have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Do you understand? Mortify means put to death. You have to put to death those things in your life. That fleshly side, you have to put it away. How do you put it away? Verse 10. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eye look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of my father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come, let us lie wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill their houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way which them. Refrain thy foot from their path. You understand. You have to put some effort in. What's that effort? You go away from sin. Go to God. You get away from those evil things. You get into the word of God. That is the only thing that will fix you, is the word of God. Lost or saved, it's the same fix every single time. Go to God, get into his word. Now, Brother Roger likes to say it all the time. He's not going to talk to you in some small, still voice and tell you exactly what you need to do. You're going to have to get into the word of God and read it. I'll tell you this. When you have that new man inside of you, you get into the word of God, it might get tiring in this flesh. It gets real exciting in this spirit, though. When you get in there and you just dig stuff out, you know, I used to not like to study because I didn't think I'd be able to figure it out. Some of these deep things that I've heard all my life, how am I going to figure it out? You know what happens when you just get in there and start doing it? It's amazing what you can start figuring out on your own because you have the Holy Spirit as comforter guiding you. Yeah. If you've never been able to understand these things, maybe you should double check if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Right.
Because if you're not understanding, God says that Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth, to make you understand. If you're not understanding, maybe go back. Let's take a couple steps back and figure out where you're going wrong. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you're saved, but you were saved later than you thought you were. You need to get baptized and join a New Testament church. Maybe you need to get sin out of your life so that God can use you. I don't know. Get into the Word of God. He'll show you what you need. It's amazing how God has laid it out and made it so simple. We just have to follow His steps. Turn to... oh, where do we want to go? There's a lot of verses here. Turn to Psalm 115. Nope, we're going to skip that one. Turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye should never neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You realize if you want to go forward with God, you got to put some effort in. You can't just sit still. You're supposed to constantly be adding things. How do you add those things? You get into the Word of God. You see how to add those things. You let God put the effort in your life. Because what I've learned in my life in the few years that I've been alive, I'm either filling my life with God or I'm filling it with the flesh. Right. And you'll understand that, and you'll sit there and think, what do I do with my day? How often do I get into the Word of God? How often am I thinking of Bible verses? How often do I just sit there and talk about Jesus? Versus how often am I filling it up with garbage here and there with this thing and this fleshy little thing? Do you realize how drastically different our time is when we give it to God versus what we give to the flesh? Well, I put a lot of effort in. I go to church 3 times a week. I go to Bible studies. I go to all these things. Great. How many times are you at work talking about nothing about God? How many times do you focus on every other thing? You realize you have to put a lot of work into God. And understand, jump to chapter 2, verse 7. And deliver just law, vexed with filthy conversation for the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Do you realize what you surround yourself will eventually have an effect on what you are? Yes, the sin comes from within. The more we consume the world and the flesh and the evilness there is, you realize how much easier it is to fulfill those lusts of the flesh, to do that sin that's inside of us. You go look and turn to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You realize who you spend your time with all the time, what you talk about, what you do, what you live your life doing is going to have an effect on you one way or the other. It's either going to bring you closer to God or take you away. Now I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to fix your life and get rid of this and that. You have to answer for yourself. You know who you are. You know what your weaknesses are. I'm just telling you, it's going to have an effect on your life. What are you going to fill your time with? Are you going to be like Israel and say, yeah, I love God, but I like all these other things a little bit more? Yeah, God's great, but I need to do all these other things more. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Jump up to verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. You have to understand, if you surround yourself with it enough times, you'll start to follow it. You'll start listening to it. And just because it may sound okay, you know what? There's a lot of Bible out there that sounds okay. Why is it so dangerous to get caught up in these false religions, to these, you know, street preachers or these internet preachers, radio shows, stuff like that? Because it may sound okay. You might think, it's not that big of a deal. It won't affect me. It will over time.
Right.
The more you surround yourself with it, the more you're going to get weaker and weaker. So we have to understand, what are we spending our time on? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You realize that if you are truly a saved child of God, you have two natures inside of you. You have a fleshly one that really just loves that evilness in the world. You have a spiritual side of you. You have to decide which one you're going to yield yourself to. You get to decide. And something I just clicked in my brain not that long ago. Turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. Starting verse 14. Or 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent unto him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is in him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one that they met unto them at the feast. And they cried out with all once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I find no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him, and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence, and it should be as they required. And they released unto them that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. I was sitting there, we were reading these verses in a youth group a couple months ago, and I was sitting there thinking, how could they pick Barabbas? This evil man, this, you know, insurrectionist, this murderer, this guy who, he was a known bad person. And they had Jesus as the other option, the perfect, innocent, no one could find a fault against him, an actual one. They made up a whole lot of one. How could they pick Barabbas? And then I realized, you know, every time that I walk away from God, I pick Barabbas. I pick that evil, vile, murderous thing out there, and I'm saying no to God. You realize we are just as bad as these people? How many of us have sat there and said, how could they? How dare they? Well, how dare I? Every time I walk away from God, every time when I sat there being convicted as a lost person, I thought, you know what? I know Jesus is convicting me. I know what I need to do, but I'm okay. I'm going to ignore it this time. That is me picking this evil of the world. Every time now in my life when I'm face to face with a decision, I've had those moments. I don't know about anybody else. I've had those moments where I'm sitting there thinking, I know what I need to do. I know the way out of this. I can think of, you know, I can go think of these Bible verses. I can go read those. I can put myself in a different position. I think, no, I don't want that. I'm steering into it. Anybody else ever have those moments where you sit there and you know and you choose, I don't want that. I want to go to sin. I want to go to the sin. It is just like picking Barabbas over Jesus. Amen. You realize, when you put it in perspective that way, I don't know, at least for me, it made me realize there is nothing good in this world. That when I walk away from Jesus, there's nothing out there. It's evil, but yeah, I still do it all the time. Why? Because I ignore what the Bible says. I think I'm okay. You're not okay. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Going back to Romans, there's those two natures. How do you get those two natures? 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you have a new creature inside of you tonight? If you are saved, you better have a new creature inside of you. It might be shriveled up. It might be in the basement because you haven't fed it in a long time. But question is, do you have one inside of you? 2 Peter says your calling and election are sure. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Do you have a second nature inside of you? If you do not, you need to be saved. Amen. Well, I know I did this, but I did that. No, it doesn't matter. If you don't have a second nature, you need to get saved. Amen. If you have a second nature, when was the last time you did anything beneficial to that nature? Right. Well, I showed up to church. I'm sitting here right now. How many of us show up to church and check out the second we get in here? Can think of anything else? Well, I listen and pay attention. I follow along. How many of us, you know, it's pretty eye-opening. Sunday morning, I'm going to tell my class a little bit. Sunday morning, we get in there. Brother Spencer asked what the devotional was about. Could not remember a single thing that was talked about in that devotional. We literally just left it. How many times do we walk out of this building and think, man, I can't remember what we just talked about? How many times has that happened to us? Or we open the Word of God, we read it, and just close it and forget everything. We just like wipe it away. Do you really feed that person inside of you? Or is it just, I know it's there, but I don't want to care for it. I don't care about it right now. God cares about it. That's why he gave you that second nature. Because how do you get that? Verse 21. For him that hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that we might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You realize the only reason you have that opportunity to have that new nature, you have that because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And do you realize how much it hurts God when I just ignore that second nature in me? When I see that spiritual side of me and I just ignore it, it's like saying, it's not good enough. I don't care about that blood you just shed. It hurts God when he does that, especially considering everything that Jesus Christ and God has done for us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. It's something I've been thinking a lot about. You realize Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Sorry, Romans chapter 8, before we get there. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For he hath not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but he hath received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Do you realize, when it talks about that adoption of Christ, the adoption of the Father, you realize God saw our fleshly evil side, gave us a new creature, and said, I'm still going to take that fleshly side of you too. He adopted it. He said, you know what? You are a sinner, evil nothingness, but I love you and I'll take that with me. And one day he'll change our fleshly body into something spiritual. Do you realize how amazing that is? That he saw everything that you are. He knew exactly who you are, your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, the good and the bad of you, and said, I still want you. Knowing 95% of the time you're going to go away from me, I still want you and all of you. You realize how amazing that is? You sit there and think, not only did he take that, he wants me to be a part of his church, a joint heir with Christ.
Amen.
You go read what Jesus Christ is the heir of, and you can be a joint heir with him.
Yeah.
I think about the boards in that tabernacle. You know, that was just a tree that got cut down, cleaned up, covered with gold, and was a part of that tabernacle. Beautiful, gorgeous tabernacle where God's glory dwelt. You know what? The base layer, it was still just a board on the inside, but it has changed into something amazing. You realize on the inside, you are still a fleshly sinner. Changed into something amazing by Jesus Christ. That should give you chills. That should make you just break down a little bit and understand how amazing God is, the love that God has given to us. And then it takes it a step further. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Turn to Isaiah 25. You realize one day, God will give you a glorified body. He will take this flesh of yours and change it to where you have no imperfections, no problems. No, you know, I have a metal plate in my ankle and it hurts sometimes. It clicks. Brother Roger, he's got a bad heart right now. You know what? When he's in heaven, he's not going to ever have to worry about that heart again. You out there that have your aches and pains, your issues, your problems. Brother Trevor with his broken back over here, it hurts him every once in a while. You know he's not going to have to deal with that anymore. Amen. You're going to be able to, I don't know, wake up. You don't really wake up in heaven. I don't think we sleep. But wake up and not have to take a couple seconds to lean over and make sure everything cracks and gets into place before you stand up. You'll get to run and just have a whole new life. Forever changed. Take that flesh and change it forever because of Jesus Christ. Do you realize how amazing that is? Because he could have just saved our soul, and instead of going to hell, you just die and have no future. He gave you a future forever. Isaiah 25, verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, and for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. You go over to Revelation and understand, there will come a time when God will wipe away all tears. No more sadness, no more pain, no more issues, no anything but goodness and God forever. You realize he did that for you without ever needing to do it. He had nothing forcing him to do it. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, it wasn't because he had to do it, that the Father was pushing him, saying, you have to do this. Jesus Christ did it willingly. God did it willingly, slain from the foundation of the world. He knew, guess what? Mankind is going to sin. There's going to be evil in this earth. I'm going to send my son to die on the cross, and I'm going to save their soul. And not only am I going to save their soul, I'm going to take them up to be eternally changed forever in a glorified body, never to be touched by sin again. And he wants you there with him. Again, that should just blow our mind to understand how evil we are, but what we can become with Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your own. We've read those verses. You can't save yourself. You can't change yourself. You have no ability to do that on your own. God has the ability, and he's literally saying, I want to do this. Let me do this, please. How many of us would just give up after the first or second time saying, I want to help you, and they say, I don't want your help, and you're like, okay, fine, good luck. How many times has God said, I want to help you, let me help you, please, let me help you, over and over again? When in our, and that's just in the future, eternity, how about our daily life? How many times have we rejected God, and he says, let me help you, please, let me fix you, let me take that burden from you, cast your burdens on the Lord? How many times has he given us a family, a home to come to and say, let us help you? Anybody ever getting help from a New Testament church? For everybody, anybody in here ever gotten just a comforting phone call or something's going on? You just know you have somebody praying for you? You realize you have that because of God? Because God blessed you enough to put you here where he's at. All these things that God has done for us. Turn to Psalm 115. God is an amazing God. And you... we better remember that and understand there is nothing about me that God should desire, but he does, and I should give everything in my life to one day be approved of him. We're not going to go read it for sake of time, but in Corinthians it talks about, you know, we labor knowing that one day we will be with him and we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You realize you will have to answer for your sin. Not every time that God is going to judge us does it have to be a bad thing. You realize, you know what he wants to your judgment to end with? A crown, a reward. You know how you get those? You do what God tells you to do. You know who gets to decide if you have a crown or a reward? You do, but if you follow God or not. In Timothy, Paul said, I have a crown of righteousness waiting for me in heaven. He knew that. Now, God revealed it to him. I don't know if he knew that. I don't know about that. Maybe you know you're getting a crown in heaven or not. You know you can if you just do what God tells you to do. Psalm 119, verse 10. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more. And you and your children, ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he hath given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore praise the Lord. Are you praising the Lord right now? Verse 17 says, the dead praise not the Lord. If you are lost in here right now, you cannot praise God. You are dead. You have nothing to praise God for. Understand that before this evening is over, you can have something to praise God for if you accept him as your Savior. You know, if you're saved in here right now and you're backslidden and you need to get your heart taken care of, guess what? You can do that right now. Because God is still answering prayers right now. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You might not have your prayers heard. How amazing is it to know that if you just get your heart right, your prayers can be heard of God? You know, it's a funny thing, but there are some times that it's nice to have a group of church members praying for you. You know, there are times that if your heart's just right with God, you don't need everybody else praying for you. You can go to God on your own. How many of us go to the church members, though, because we know I can't pray to God on my own? Because I know I need to get some stuff figured out. I'm not willing to do that. I want to stay in my sin, but I want everybody else to do it for me. That's a sad place to be in. When God has given every opportunity to you, what do you got to do? Put the effort in, though. You got to get into the Word of God and see you are nothing but sin. He is God, the Creator, that has given you everything that you could ever want and desire. It's waiting there for you. What are you going to do for it? You going to follow the breadcrumbs? Or are you just going to say, no, it's not good enough. I want that Barabbas. I want that evil. I want that sin. I want that hatred. I want that all those bad things. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Let's all stand. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You get to decide what your life is going to become. You get to decide how you're going to stand before God. You get to decide if you're going to stand before God as your Savior or as your judge that's going to send you to hell. You have to make the decision what you're going to do with your life. God has done everything for you. He has died on the cross for your sins. He has given you His Word of God so you know how to fix the problems in your life. He's given you the Word of God to know who God is. You realize you want to know who God is? People are out there crying, who is God? I want to know who God is. Get into the Word of God. He will show you who He is. Corinthians says, this is the mind of Christ. You get to know who your Savior is. You get to see how much He can do for you in your life to take this fleshly, sinful person, give you a new life, a new creature. Take that old thing and make it something worth anything in this life. Or you can just reject Him and say, it's not that good. I know, I understand, I see it, but it's not that good enough for me. Is God good enough for you? Or you want to just keep following the same cycle that mankind has followed since Adam and Eve in the garden, walking away from God, crying out to Him, and hoping that He saves us, and know that sometimes He might not save you. You might have to suffer more, because they that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but they that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What number shall we sing?
118. My.